But listen, seniors, while it is about you, today's message isn't just for you. The message is for all of us in here today. And today, this is a call to reflect, a call to realign, and a call to run our race with endurance. It is a call for us to look upon the Lord. So if you have your Bible this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to two scriptures. Now, I know at least four people in here have a Bible this morning. Let's see if they can find Acts chapter 3 and then Hebrews chapter 12. Acts chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read Acts 3 here right away. And then here in just a few moments, we'll read Hebrews chapter 12. So we will be in Acts 3:19 to start with. So while you turn there, I grew up on a farm. Some of you know that, some don't. But when I was a kid, my dad was married and my stepmom, and she had four kids. There's eight of us in the house total. There was a lot of mouths to feed. And so we used to have a huge garden that's probably bigger than this room here today. And my dad always gave us kids the opportunity to have our own section of the garden. And crazy to think that we used to think that that was exciting. Like, I get my own section of the garden, and here's when you reflect and you look back on it, it was a great tool to teach some discipline, to teach some responsibility, to teach some patience. If you've ever planted a garden, you know it starts off exciting, especially as a young man. You get to use the big old gas tiller to tear up the dirt, and you're destroying things, but you're destroying it so it brings life, right? And so it's exciting that you get to till the ground, and then you get to put out your line and take your hoe and create a straight line and drop your seeds in and get the spacing right. And then you get to stand back and you get to watch in a few days that those seeds start to sprout. They start to break the soil. They start to come out. But do you know that that's not where the work is? The work is about to set in. And the work sets in. If you've ever tended a garden of any kind, you know that weeds grow faster than whatever it is you're trying to grow. Right? Weeds will grow faster than whatever it is that you're trying to grow. It is a constant battle. I hope you're hearing the parallel of what I'm talking about here today. It is a constant battle to keep those weeds. You have to come, you got to pull weeds, you got to hoe the weeds, you got to water, you got to break the soil up. You have to care for that garden. Why in the world did I think that would be fun? If you don't take care of that garden, guess what? It will quickly become overgrown. If you neglect it, even for a short time, these small compromises, they quickly add up. One weed turns into 100, turns into 10,000. That's how fast they grow. It's no joke. One day turns into a week, and before long, the garden is completely choked out by the weeds. It is completely unrecognizable from the beautiful weed-free ground that you just spent time tilling and getting perfectly straight rows. And then you find yourself asking this question, how did it get so bad? It's my garden. It was my responsibility to take care of that garden. Do you see where we're going today? It's the same with our spiritual lives. It's not one decision. It's not one compromise. It's not the one big step, but it is the daily small steps that define your path. Daily, we are making decisions that determine the path that we're going. So it's not the one big step. I like to do sticky statements in my sermons, things that will help stick and help us remember the message. And so our sticky statement today is it's not the one big step, but it's the daily small steps that define your path. This is the very same principle with our lives. When you make small neglects, you make those small choices or those small compromises, eventually you will find yourself saying, how did it get this bad? So what can we do? What can we do with this information? Well, guess what? Let's go to our scripture this morning, Acts chapter 3, verses 19. It says this: "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be," what? "Blotted out." Blotted out. We're going to come to that word blotted here in a minute. I want you to really grasp and understand what this is saying. "But repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, in Peter's message, he's speaking to the nation and telling the nation of Israel to repent because they just crucified the Lord. But let's apply it right here into our lives today. This is Peter's message to us, is to call us to repent by turning to Jesus, to accept his teaching, to read his word, and to live a life that reflects true and genuine change, so that sins may be forgiven, that sins may be blotted out. Just like the garden needs regular tending, garden needs care. Guess what? Our hearts need regular tending as well. Our hearts need regular care. If we refuse to give it the care that it needs, we find ourselves saying, "How did it get this bad?" This call to repent, it is not the idea of a harsh command, but rather it is an invitation into the arms of a loving God to receive forgiveness for our sins. It's an opportunity for us to repent, to reset, to realign, and to return to the God who made us, to the God who saved us, and the God that calls us to greater purposes. See, this morning, repentance is more than feeling sorry for our mistakes. Who knows that we can be sorry for something and do it again tomorrow? I used to beat on my older sister, because that's what little brothers do. You could be sorry one day, but guess what? She deserves it again the next day, right? You laugh, but you understand what I'm saying here. There's a difference between feeling sorry for your mistakes, and there's a difference in turning away from your mistakes, turning away from your sin. And this idea of turning away from sin, it is turning as in. We are making a conscious, deliberate decision to turn and to walk towards Christ Jesus. It is to walk away from. In fact, in Sunday school, it said to what? To radically remove sin from your life. To radically walk away from that thing that you are struggling with, that thing that you're dealing with. Listen, everybody, seniors specifically, you're walking into a world that you don't even know what you're getting ready to walk into. You don't. I can't prepare it for you because I went to college 18 years ago. Things have changed. I thought the world was crazy then when I walked onto the campus of ISU. Braden, I'm sure it's worse now than it ever has been, because that's just the world that we live in, because at some point Jesus is going to come back, so it's going to get worse before he comes for his church. Amen? Side note there, that's something for us to be excited about. So we turn from that sin and we walk towards Jesus. It is a decision, a daily decision, to reject the path that leads to destruction. You are going to have temptations fall in your lap every single day. It is how you respond on whether we are led to destruction or we walk the path that leads us to life. Which path will you choose today? Will you be defined by destruction, or will you be defined by life? That is life in Christ. The beautiful thing here about repentance is that it comes with a promise. This is where we come back to the word of blotted out. This is the promise, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, what does this mean? The word blotted simply means to completely remove. And so in ancient times, ink sat on the paper. It did not soak like it does today in our paper. The only way to remove ink is to destroy the paper. Put white out over it, the ink's still there, right? You literally can't remove ink. Now, I guess they have these new ink eraser things, but it still leaves a trace, doesn't it? The idea of blotted out is that it could be completely wiped clean. without a trace. So when it says that your sins may be blotted out, it is completely gone. It is wiped away, no trace of it, because of Jesus. Right? And so it's the kind of forgiveness that God offers. It's not a here's the sin, and he takes and he crosses it out like a teacher checking their paper on a wrong answer. It is a complete removal of. You understand that this morning? It is a complete removal from our life without a trace. He blots it out, removing it entirely. Repentance is not just about turning away from sin, is it? We know that if we turn away from sin, guess what? More sin is going to present, right? So when we turn from sin, what we actually need to do is we turn from that sin and we put our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We turn to Christ and we step into that freedom that he secured for us on the cross. You are not meant to walk through this life and struggle. Are there times that struggling is part of life? Yes. But Jesus, listen, I've said this before from the stage, and if you're first time here, you haven't been here, you have no context. But no matter what life brings, Jesus is enough. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They're going through the most trying time. I can't even imagine what they're going through. And I had to bring them back to the point of understanding that no matter what you go through, one, God already knows it. He knows the path that you're walking. He knows what you're encountering and facing every single day. If at the end of today I lose my right leg because of whatever, guess what? Jesus is still enough. My right leg does not get me into heaven. Jesus does. This life is but temporary. It's a hill of beans compared to a lot of things. But my faith in Jesus, my trust in Jesus, Jesus the person himself is enough no matter what life brings me. Amen. So we turn to Jesus. We look to Jesus. It's no matter what choices that you find or where you end up in life or the things that you do. There is always, you can never get to a point where you are too far gone. The only time you're too far gone is when your breathing stops in your chest. There is always an opportunity to recognize your brokenness. There is always an opportunity to recognize our fallen nature. There's always an opportunity for God to intervene in our lives if we will allow it to happen. It's about looking at ourselves in the mirror and deciding that it's time to repent. When we ask the question of how bad, how did it get this bad? My response should be running to the feet of the cross, running to Jesus. Whether you're a graduating senior in here today, or maybe you're somebody who's been walking with Christ for many, many years, understand this, and those who have walked with Christ for many years know this. Repentance is a continual, humble decision to come back to Jesus daily. Old people, this is your time. Not old people, just mature Christians, your opportunity. I don't want to be offensive. Say amen to that, right? We understand that every day we fall short of the glory of God. We cannot make it on our own. Who makes it for us? Christ Jesus. So it is a daily repentance, coming back to the feet of the cross, to Jesus. It's about allowing God to do what only he can do in our lives. He will. Here's the hope and the promise we have. He will restore. He will refresh. And he will renew you from the inside out. It's not the one big step, but the daily small steps that define your path. So church, I want you to heed this warning this morning. You need to understand that there is an enemy that we all have that wants to see us fail miserably. Do you understand that this morning? Hey, each of us will face daily temptations. See, Satan wants us to keep taking those small steps, make those decisions, make those neglects, make those compromises. He wants us to walk away from the garden for a couple of weeks. Wants us to ignore the things that are going on. Listen, it is His desire that we will make decisions that we think at that time are inconsequential. Then He wants us to start to justify those decisions. And what generally goes with that word justify? Well, it's not that bad. Small compromises, small steps, small decisions end up in a big impact in your life. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? He wants us to be focused on what's in front of us and not how this relationship is developing or how close I am to God. He wants us to be confused and blinded. He's going to tell us, He's going to whisper, "Oh, it's okay that you made that decision today. It's not a big deal." I would submit to you today, back to Sunday school about holiness. Be set apart for God. Make decisions that will keep you in God's presence and not decisions that are going to lead you somewhere where you don't want to go. He's going to tell us that everything is okay. It's working. Whatever it is, it's working. You're good. There's no problem here. Guess what? Until there is. Until there is a problem. When it comes, and then you're going to find yourself saying, "How did it get this bad?" This is how sin works. This is how people who at one time or another, who are on fire for God, who are living for His purposes, they start making small decisions, and all of a sudden, they're a stranger to God. It can happen to every one of us here today. If we are not focused on the things that we are consuming, the things that we're doing, the decisions that we're making, it wasn't one decision alone that made them a stranger to God, but it was by several small decisions that over time completely altered their life. And I'm sure many of us here can think of somebody who that applies to. Do you know that God doesn't lose hope on that person? That is the good news. The good news is we don't have to stay in the mess. You don't have to stay in the overgrown, choked out garden. You don't have to stay in the pit of defeat in your life. Jesus will not leave us or abandon us. And if we are willing to repent, guess what? God is always willing to receive us in His glory. Repentance isn't just about turning away from sin, but to reinforce what I've said, it's about turning toward a life that looks on Jesus, a life that reflects the freedom and purpose that Christ offers. It's a decision to leave behind the weight that holds us down, that holds us back, and to step fully into the race that God has set before us today. This leads us into our next scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. If you find your way there or turn your attention to the screen, it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 2 is where I want to fix our focus today. But first, Jesus is the founder of our faith. Why? Because He made the first move. I did nothing. I didn't decide one day that I wanted to try this Jesus thing. He had to soften my heart. He had to call my name. He had to let me get broken down to the nth degree, where I remember in Pella, in my apartment that's down by the hospital, hitting my knees on the apartment floor and saying, "Jesus, I need You. I can't do this anymore on my own." He's made the move in your life today. He is calling each and every one of us unto Himself. See, He stepped down from heaven. He came out of heaven. He lived a sinless life. He took our punishment of sin on the cross, where you and I deserve to be. He took, he bore, so that we might be in relationship with the Father through him. He took our punishment on the cross. And here's the greatest thing that we just celebrated a couple weeks ago. He rose again. He rose again. In doing so, he opened the way for us to be forgiven. Completely. Blotted out. Sins gone. Think of something bad you did in the last week. Well, I didn't do anything bad. Yeah, you're lying right now is what you're doing. When we come to Jesus, guess what he does? Blots it out. Gone forever. We do not earn our way into heaven. There is nothing good enough that you can do, because we all fall short. And so it is by his grace that our sins are blotted out when we put our faith in him. Amen? Repentance is only possible because Jesus already paid the price. Without his sacrifice, without our repentance, we would have no power. We have no effect, and we have no promise of restoration. We have no promise of getting out of that overgrown garden. But instead, because of his sacrifice, we have access to all of that today. But he doesn't just stop there. He's not just the founder of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. And this is what this means. He doesn't just start our faith journey. It's not just at the point of coming into faith that starts, but Jesus walks with us through every high and every low, every moment of weakness, every moment of strength. He completes what he starts. He perfects our path as we define and we make decisions. He is walking with us. So he completes what he started. He takes our broken pieces. He takes our regrets. Who's got broken pieces in here? Literal or not, right? We're all broken. We're all broken. We all need him. We all have failures, don't we? And he takes them and he shapes them into the story of grace, strength, endurance. Guess what this is called? Your testimony. Nobody can take your testimony away from you. Nobody can tell you your testimony is not true, because you have walked through it. And he will empower us, this race that he has put us on, this path that we're on, he will see us through to the finish line. Repentance clears the way, but it's Jesus who keeps us on course, which is why we've just prayed over our students, which is why we've just given them a Bible. We want them to stay on the path that is narrow. We want them to stay on course. Seniors, I don't want you to experience anything bad in college. I don't want you one day saying, where's Jesus in my life? But if you would just decide today a goal, back to Sunday school, if you just define your goal, have a goal in mind for why you're doing this, it is because he is our strength and our sustenance. He is the only thing that is worth pursuing in our life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not free from trouble. We know that. We live in a world that's free from trouble. But don't let your relationship with God diminish because the things of the world are coming in and giving you trouble. Can anyone testify to that? He is the reason, Jesus is the reason that we can lay aside every weight, everything that holds us back, every shame, every sin, every addiction. We can lay it aside and we can run with him in endurance, with confidence that he will finish the good work that he started in us. Do you notice that progression? Repentance, it clears the way, but endurance keeps us moving forward. It's not about starting well, is it? When we all come into relationship with Jesus, we all have good intentions, I hope, right? We have good intentions, but it's how we finish the race. We are called to lay aside the sins and the distractions that cling to us. I heard this week this analogy that I think fits here perfectly. Who likes to run in here? Raise your hand. Okay, four people. Great. Thought there'd be a lot more hands here. Who likes to walk? Okay, thank you. If you are to say, I am going to that table, but I am walking, looking down, likely I need more space. Likely what's going to happen if I'm watching my feet as I walk? My path is not very straight to that table there, is it? But if I walk with my eyes fixed on that table the entire time, what happens? I come straight to it. Understand, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. How do we do this? I just said it. By looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. This means that we fix our eyes on the one who not only began our faith journey, but also the one who promises to complete it. You cannot do this of your own power. It's not going to happen. You will fail miserably. But with the power of Christ, you will be fine. Today is a reminder that our race, guess what? It's not run in isolation. It is not on our own that we run. We have a Savior who has already gone before us. And guess what? We have a great cloud of witnesses who can testify of His goodness in our life. If you can testify of His goodness, can we get an amen this morning? Amen. Right? We have a cloud of witnesses that are cheering each of you seniors on, each of you students. Listen, if you've just become a Christian and you're, 90 years old, guess what? You got a cloud of witnesses around you that are helping guide you and support you in your relationship with Christ. And we each have the power of the Holy Spirit that strengthens us every step of the way. So as you step into this new season, graduates, and as the rest of us, every one of us here, we continue on in our own walks of faith, let's not just turn away from sin, but let's turn towards Christ. Keeping our eyes fixed on the one who calls us to repent, to run, and to persevere with Him. It is not the one big step, but it is the daily small steps that define your direction, define your path, rather. So as we reflect on this journey, as we hear today, and this journey from repentance to endurance to making decisions that define our path, there's a call here for each of us, for all of us today. Not just the graduates, not just those that maybe are unsure where they're at, and then those who are solid in the relationship. It's whether or not you're just beginning a new chapter in your life or you've been walking with Christ for decades. Guess what? The message stays the same. The message is the same. Turn from sin, run with endurance, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Repentance is where the journey begins, but it doesn't stop there. It's a daily decision. It is those daily small decisions to keep moving forward, to shed the weight that holds us back, to get rid of the things that would keep us from pursuing Christ, and to fix our focus on the one who leads us, the one who founded our faith, the one who started, the one who called us into relationship with Him. He made the first move. Guess what? He also makes the last move because He perfects our faith by walking with us every step of the way. Do you know today, though, it's not about our individual walk. It's about living in a way that points others to Jesus. Whether or not you are using words, you are pointing people either towards Jesus or away from Jesus. We run our race, we make our decisions, we define the path that we're going on, but we do it not only for our growth, but so that others may see Christ in us and may be drawn to Him. You guys have heard me talk endlessly about the sphere of influence. Graduates, you're about to walk into a whole new sphere of influence. You're about to be able to have impact on people that you've never encountered in your life. How you live, how you carry yourself will either point people towards Jesus or pull them away from Jesus. So, and that's for all of us here. Understand, this isn't just for graduates. This is all of us. How we live, when we live our faith out loud, we show a broken world the power of repentance, the beauty of endurance, and the joy of a life fixed on Jesus. And that joy is, He is enough. When it all goes south, when life gets so heavy, we don't understand which way is up. He is enough. It is Him and Him alone. So as we close today, there's a challenge here for each of us. There's three of them I want to share with you. The first one is this. Don't just start well, finish strong. Don't just start well, finish strong. Don't just turn away from sin, turn towards Christ. Don't just run for yourself. Don't just run for yourself. Run in a way that reveals Jesus to others. As you step into this new season of life, graduates, today, when graduation is done, you have a summer and then you're to school. But life happens real fast. And as the rest of us continue in our walk, can we just agree today to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, and let's continue engaging our community for Jesus by living lives that reflect His grace, His endurance, and His power in our life today. Before we close today, as we wrap up, if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. Before we close, I want to take a moment here today to invite anyone who hasn't yet made that decision to follow Jesus. Acts 3:19, it reminds us, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. If you've been running your race without Jesus, if you've been going without Him or having any direction, or maybe you've even drifted from your path that He had called you to, that He set before you, today is your opportunity to recognize your brokenness and turn back to Him. Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, has already made the first move in here. He has already been calling on you. He's already been working on your heart this morning. Remember, He stepped down from heaven. He took our sin to the cross. He rose from the grave, and He made a way for each one of us to be restored. Repentance isn't just about turning away from sin. It's about turning toward the One who can transform your life and give you new purpose, new strength, and a fresh start. With every head bowed and eye closed this morning, if that is you today, if you would like to make that decision today to turn from your old ways, to get pulled out of that overgrown, choked out garden and begin a new life in Christ, would you raise your hand in this place today? Is there anybody? Amen. If you're here and you feel like that is you, it doesn't have to be before a church. It can be just a prayer, simple prayer, faith on your own. That is, Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I need you in my life. I accept you today as Lord and Savior. That's all it takes. In fact, it doesn't matter what the words are. It's about the condition of your heart. So no matter where you're at, you can call on the name of the Lord. For all of us today, I believe there's a question. There's a question here today that begs to be answered. A question that I hope is chewing on us as we consider this. Before you actually do this, I'm going to put it out there for you. If today you are willing to commit to run with endurance, to keep your focus on Jesus, and to engage your community for Jesus. Listen, that's our church's mission. It may not be your church's mission, but guess what? We all have that community around us, that sphere of influence. We need to engage our community for Jesus. So if you're willing to, here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up as a way to declare that commitment today before God and the body of Christ. Before you do that, by standing, I need you to understand what you're saying this morning. You're saying, I'm choosing to lay aside every desire, every weight, everything in my life. I am willing to lay it all down to fix my eyes on Jesus and live in a way that points others towards Him. Who here today is willing to make that commitment? If so, will you stand to your feet this morning? One of you have a unique testimony that nobody else shares. God has brought each of us out of something that nobody else can understand, but I promise you, there's somebody in your sphere of influence who needs to hear your story. Don't be ashamed to speak the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to go into a quick time of worship before we dismiss this. We just hands before God this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for everybody who stood up in a way to declare that they will stand for you, that they will run with endurance, that they will engage their community for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now through the Holy Spirit that you empower each and every one of them. Lord, that you would fill them, that you would lead them, that you would guide them. Lord, that you would protect them. Lord, that you would put wisdom in their mind to understand and to see when things are starting to get in the way, when decisions are starting to end with a justification. Lord, they rebuke it and they say, no, Satan, I stand for Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us courage to speak out, that you would give us the ability, Lord, to encounter people who need to know who you are. Lord, I pray that there would be freedom that is surrounding us as we walk about and as we go through life. Lord, that it is a natural attractive to you because of your glory that you've departed on us. Father, we thank you. Lord, I just pray for an abundant blessing upon these seniors today, upon these families who are also going through this transition, and for everybody else in here today. Lord, would you pour out an abundant blessing? Would your name be glorified in everything we say and everything we do? In Jesus' name, everybody said,